Have you ever read a story and say to yourself, you know, I missed something here? Often when I read scripture, I go back and I read and I'll say, I never looked at it from that standpoint, or I never picked up that thought, or God's really speaking to me today. God says to Satan on this occasion, have you considered my servant Job? And that's usually where we begin the story, but that's not where the story begins. We consider Job and we consider all that he's been through and all the things that happened and losing his family, losing his possessions, losing his livestock and all of the things that he lost. We consider about his tragedy, his wife's tragedy, the grief they go through. We consider about his three friends. He later says of those friends, you are miserable friends to me, because they weren't helping, they were hurting. He said, oh, that I could just be weighed in an even balance. And that was Job's frustration, because I need God in my balance side. I need the blood of Jesus, because an even balance isn't going to help me at all. But as the story begins, I want to go back and look at what we know about Job in the beginning of Job. Just from a historical standpoint, probably the book of Job is the first book penned in the Bible. It's probably the oldest one that has been written down. But I want you to go back to the first chapter and the first couple of verses there. And that's where God says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth. What makes him different? As you look at your life, as you look at your heroes, as you look at your role models, what is it that you draw from them? God says when you look at Job, he's been a blessed man. He's the greatest man in all the East. He's got all that he has. Satan's been going to and fro upon all the earth looking and trying to do his satanic business. And Jehovah says, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on all the earth. He gives four things about him that are different that make him stand out. He is a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. If you were to go into the old cemeteries and see where there were verses written on the tombstones, you'd find many verses of scripture. But I think this would be apropos for Job's tombstone. That he was a blameless man and one who fears God and shuns evil. I left out the upright part. Sorry about that. Look with me at a couple of different translations. First, the Message, which is more of a commentary than it is a translation. The Message says, have you noticed my friend Job? There's no one quite like him. Honest and true to his word, totally devoted to God and hating evil. And the New Century Version translates it like this when it says, the Lord said to Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? No one else on the earth is like him. He is an honest and innocent man, honoring God and staying away from evil. So when we look at those different translations, we get the idea that we're talking about his character. We're talking about what's important to him. We're talking about choices that he's made and things that he's made a difference of. And the first thing that he says in our original reading of this is that Job is a blameless man. What does it mean to be blameless? Well, there's some things I think that it doesn't mean. But if you look back at that reading in the New Century Version, he said he is an honest man. So the idea of blameless, honest, true to his word, the kind of person you can trust. When we look at the word blameless, the text does not imply sinless perfection. I think sometimes that's what we're looking at is in the terms of blameless is there's no sin, you haven't done anything wrong, but we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so that can't be. Romans 3 and verse 23. But he can be an honest man. He can be above board in what he does. He is blameless in his faithfulness to God. Bad things are going to happen to Job in his life and his wife. He's going to lose everything he has. He's going to be destroyed. He's going to suffer pain in his body. He's got all these kind of complications that are coming. And in verse 22 of the first chapter, the Bible says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. When the trouble started coming, he didn't give up on God. He was faithful to God. He was blameless before God. When he began to lose everything he had worked for all of his life, And one servant came in and said, I only I am left. And the next servant came in and said, I'm the only one left. And he gets this message four times, and the fourth time is his children. Did you notice when he was talking about his children that he said that when they would celebrate their birthdays, which is what I think he's talking about, each one on his own day, that they would have these parties and he would say a prayer for them. He prayed for them all the time. But on those occasions, he would pray that they had not sinned in their heart nor charged God wrongly. I wonder what kind of things that we pray about for our children, but they're specific here. Job had been praying. There's nobody like him on the earth. He's got a great prayer life. He prays for his family. He prays for his children. He prays for his children when he's not with them. And every implication is that these are grown children with their own houses, because that's where they were going to have these gatherings, these parties that they would have each time it became each one's day. Then imagine losing them all at one fell swoop. Have you watched the devastation in Mexico lately? I've watched as there have been people standing on their heads digging through concrete trying to reach people. I watched the news reports in Puerto Rico when the mayor gets on and says, we're dying. We can't get anything. There's nothing that we've got to have help. And a couple of weeks ago in South Florida, and then a week before that in Texas. And our hearts go out. Littleton announced that just as an extra contribution, not our regular contribution, over $7,000 was raised in this one congregation because our hearts go out. Can you imagine getting word that there's been a tornado, there's been an earthquake, and your entire family, all of your children and grandchildren are dead? And in all of this, Job's the kind of man that doesn't charge God. Foolishly, he doesn't blame God for it. In Job 2 and verse 10, it says it this way, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. You know, we don't have people quite as disciplined today. It's not too uncommon for me to hear somebody say, oh, excuse me, that slipped out. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I forgot where I was. My favorite thing is for people to say something and then find out I'm a preacher. You can see them almost choke the words back. And my thought is always, don't apologize to me, apologize to God, because he's there all the time. I'm just here once in a while. And all that was going on, and true loss and true heartbreak and true grief, Job didn't charge God falsely. He did not sin against God with his lips. He didn't say bad things against God. In Job 1 and verse 8, the Bible says he was an honest and innocent man, honoring God and staying away from evil in the New Century Version. He's a blameless person. Not a perfect person, because we're not. But he was a man of integrity. He was a man who acted on what he believed. And blameless is something we're called to be throughout the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 13, the Bible says, you shall be blameless before the Lord your God. Old Testament passage to God's people, but it says that you need to be right before God. The psalmist said, I was also blameless before him. I kept myself away from iniquity. I don't carry the blame because I didn't do it. And the way I didn't do it is stayed away from the problem, from sin. And then, as I alluded to a few moments ago, when we looked at the qualifications for those who would serve as elders or bishops in the Lord's church, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2 says, a bishop must then be blameless. Titus says the same thing. Perfect, sinless? No, that doesn't work. But we need to be people of honor and respect. We need to be consistent with the values we espouse ought to be the values that lead our lives. When you look at Job, you look at all that he did that was wrong for him. But here's a man with grown children later in his life. And I'm sure he's experienced some bad things along with the good things. The greatest man in all the East. One that God was proud to say, this is my servant, Job. It wasn't like the Cinderella effect of here are the two ugly stepsisters and the mom just loved the two ugly stepsisters and Cinderella was out in the back and we didn't talk about her. This is the star player. This is Job. There's nobody like him in all the world. Not because I said so or because you read the story and you think so, but because God said so. He is blameless. But right on top of that, or in connection with that, it says he's an upright man. Sometimes we just need to do the right thing. We just need to be right. It doesn't matter what we feel. It doesn't matter what we say. It matters what we do and where we stand. In fact, the New Century Version on that one said, uprightness is honoring God. And the question then becomes, do you honor God with your life daily? Does your behavior and language reflect upon your God that you are His servant, that you love Him, that you're not going to be led by the world, but led by the Spirit? Does your life honor Him? And if not, why not? Are we living upright lives? Upright lives have to do with people who are right with man because they are right with God. You want to be right with people. Now, people may not like you, but you'll be on the side of right if you always follow God's will. If we're evil spoken of, let it be because of our faith, because we're doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. In Job chapter 2, verse 10, we receive good things at the hand of God. Shall we not also receive evil? Job is talking to his wife. He's saying, I'm not going to lose my integrity. I'm not going to change my ways just because I got some bad news. I'm going to speculate that there's not a row in this church building this morning that doesn't have somebody who's had bad news come to them. Sometimes it's the doctor's report. Sometimes it's the lawyer's decree, the judge's decree. Sometimes it's the paperwork that gets served by the process server. Sometimes you go to work and you find out you don't have a job. Sometimes you feel completely lost because one you love died and you didn't even know that they were sick. You see, all of us have had problems. But Job lives this innocent, honest, trustworthy life. He says, shall we receive good at the hands of God and not, shall we not also receive evil? In all of this, he said, the Bible says, he didn't sin with his lips. He didn't talk against God. He didn't put God down. He didn't curse God. You know, in times of trouble, it's most likely that we'll either turn to God or away from God. And in the worst trouble ever described by anybody in the Bible, Job goes through it all, but in all of this, he didn't curse God. In fact, in Job 13 and verse 15, as the tragedy continues, as the second occasion comes where Satan goes back and puts all these boils and skins and physical ailments on him, Job looks at all he's gone through and he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. That's a pretty high standard, people. Though I'm dying, I'll still trust in my God. I won't turn away from him. I'll turn towards him. I may not understand it, but I believe that he is and he's power. Job was a man who was upright before God, before man, before his family. In chapter 33 and verse 3 of Job, the Bible says, my words come from my upright heart. My lips utter pure knowledge. Proverbs 10 and verse 29 goes on to say, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come from those who are the workers of iniquity. Do the right thing. Live the right life. Live for Jesus. King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29, truly this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. God made us to do right, to be right, to think right, but we follow the schemes of the world and we get in trouble. When God describes Job, he says he's an upright man. He does the right thing. He doesn't succumb to the pressures. And maybe that has to do with the description that Job is given when the Bible says that Job feared God. We talked about that a little bit in our class in the auditorium this morning as we were looking at our lesson. There's a fear that respects the awesome power of God, but it's not trembling and shaking back in the corners. It's understanding the power that's in front of you. And how, if you don't appropriate it in the positive way, you can get in trouble. Again, the New Century Version translates the phrase that Job feared God by saying he honored God. Job let God be God. Job didn't try to take over and become God. Verse 8 says he was honest, innocent man, honoring God and staying away from evil. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Do you want to be more spiritual? Do you want to be God-like in your life? Do you want to be more correct in your living? Do you want to be more holy in your behavior? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Honoring God, knowing God, respecting His authority, respecting His power. That's where it starts. There's a popular song many years ago on the radio that said, to know Him is to love Him. And I do. Debbie Boone was the artist that sang that song. She's the daughter of Pat Boone, who grew up in the Lord's church. And everybody thought it was a love song. Everybody thought it was about some man in her life. And when she was interviewed, she said, it's the way I feel about my God. To know Him is to love Him. And that's the kind of man that Job was. To honor God. Look at the 66th Psalm in verse 16. Where here the psalmist says, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. If you honor God, if you respect God, if you fear God, if you know who He is, if you submit to Him, if you understand His great and awesome power, come and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, the apostle writes and he says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. If you look at the construction there, honor all people, honor the King, love the brotherhood. We're talking about honor and love. And in that context, when you read fear God, it's honoring and loving God. It's the same emotion that we're each called to do. But there's a fourth thing, and I think it's an important thing, that may God say about Job, he's different than anybody else on the earth. When you consider everybody on the earth, here's one thing about Job that you need to know. He shunned evil. King James word uses a rather strange word, says to eschew evil. But what he's saying is he stayed away from it. He tried to keep it out of his life. So many people try to see how close they can get to the wrong or to the world without getting contaminated by it. Long ago, and I've used this illustration, but it's been a while since I've used it. I was bad about leaving my window down when it rained. Anybody else here ever leave the window down and got your front seat wet? So what's the choice? The choice is, do I wait until it dries out? Usually don't have time for that. Do I put a piece of plastic down? I don't carry one with me. Do I sit on a towel? Again, not something that's normally in my car. And so I come up with this idea. I will see how far away I can sit in the seat from it, but the seat's only this big. And mine is, well, y'all know what I'm talking about. It takes up most of the car seat. And when I get too close to where it rained in, the water, my pants get wet. Job is a man who shunned evil. He didn't see how close he could get to it without getting wet. He tried to stay away from it. Look with me over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. In fact, just stay in Romans 12 for a minute. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cleave to what is good. Hate the evil. Make it where it's not even a part of who you want to be and what you want to be. The dark side, stay away from the darkness. Verse 17 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. And verse 21 explains it. In verse 21 he says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You see, if you don't shun evil, you can be overcome, you can be beaten, you can be subdued. I used to like to watch a lot of old Western movies and TV shows. There are not a lot of them on anymore. There's always a gunslinger. And I forget which movie or which TV show it was, but somewhere there was a line, something like this, stated that always kind of stayed with me. In the life of a gunslinger, there's always going to be somebody who's faster and deadlier than you are. And so I decided right then I wasn't going to be a gunslinger. In my list of occupations, I decided I don't want that. I don't want evil to overcome me. I want to be on the side of doing what's right and doing what's good and therefore what's God's desire for me. The psalmist said in Psalm 34 and verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 37 and verse 27, depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Isaiah said, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away evil from your doing and from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. One translation says, stop it. Why was Job different from anybody else? Because he shunned evil. And he tried to do what was right. And all of this, Job sinned not with his lips. Now you need to understand that if you read the book of Job, and if you haven't, I highly recommend it. Job did get discouraged. Job did say, I wish I had never been born. Or I wish I had never lived through the birth process. But he didn't sin. You see, I've studied and taught and preached on the book of Job many times. But I've never talked about the question, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth. And what I really want to leave with today is to say, is that an example that you and I can follow? Can we look at these four attributes and say, that would make me closer to my God and more what God wants me to be? I'll tell you one thing for sure, is God wants you to be his child. He wants to wash away your sins and give you a new life. He wants you, if you've fallen away, to come home. He wants you to be in heaven with him so much that he let Jesus die for that very purpose. This morning, if you want to respond publicly, if you want to obey the gospel in baptism, if you need the prayers of this church, we're going to sing a song, and I want you to be encouraged to come before this body, not to be judged, but to be prayed with and for. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and sing?